Okay. We are back. We are back. Once again, James McCanny hosting the Power Hour today, guest host. And another hour of information here. Before the break, I read an abstract dealing with this medical paper that was written in an analytical chemistry peer-reviewed journal in March of this year, dealing with magnetic graphene oxide that is called mixed with nanoparticles. And I want to go into this detail. And it's a little bit esoteric, but the point is that this is what they want to put in your bodies. And so I think you should stick around and get smart about this. And I'm also going to talk about the different ways they can get it into your body, including in the water supply. And that's where this really is going. But before I start going into picking this abstract apart and what this really means for you, let me talk about how big these are. And this is very important when we're talking about anything dealing with biochemistry or biotoxicity or cytotoxicity, as it's called. How big are these? And so this took me a while to research. And so here's the issue. If you look at something like a graphene oxide structure, it turns out, like I said, it's like a piece. You could think of it like a piece of scotch tape. As you pull it off of a roll, and it's one atomic layer thick. And the way they can get it to be one atomic layer thick is they have to mix oxygen atoms into the graphene structure. The graphene by itself is just carbon. But carbon doesn't come out flat. It forms three-dimensional structures just great. In fact, a diamond is a perfect example of a crystalline form of graphene, of graphite, or in the other thing, for example, a lead pencil is a good example of a structure that, or carbon that you use in your charcoal burner, the old-fashioned charcoal burners. Most of you probably have gas barbecue units now, but the old charcoal, where it was a clump of charcoal, that's carbon, basically in a amorphous state, a non-crystalline state. So carbon takes on many forms, and one of the interesting questions here is that a carbon atom in an organic molecule, like in your body, you have carbon, and organic chemistry is a whole branch of chemistry. In fact, chemistry in general is divided into organic chemistry and inorganic chemistry. And organic has to deal with things that potentially can deal with life. And so, for example, oil, petroleum is a form of organic chemical because it deals with hydrogen and carbons, primarily hydrocarbons. But the point is that the carbon is in both categories, the inorganic and organic. And so one of the really strange things that chemists and evolutionists, for example, cannot answer is why does that carbon atom act this way when it's in an organic molecule? And why does it act differently when it's in an inorganic molecule, not dealing with life? So it's one of those strange things, but here we're dealing with an inert material that can interact with biological systems. So graphene of itself is you might call it organic molecule, but it's not the basis of life. You're not going to find it in a normal state in a person's body. But the graphene oxide, though, oxygen also is a major component of organic chemistry. But the reason for the oxygen is to lay it out in a flat structure. It's kind of like a grid structure. And then every now and then you can insert a nanoparticle, and that nanoparticle has certain properties also. And so, but the point is, a nanoparticle, let me just talk about nanoparticles of themselves. A nanoparticle is down almost to an atomic layer. It's a few atoms big. And say, just for a scale, if you took some atoms and you looked at their size and then you put some of these atoms together, to make a nanoparticle, you're probably dealing with in the range of 10 to 100 atoms to make a nanoparticle. So they're extremely small, they're extremely useful, and they can be put into a person's body to have certain effects. But they can insert the nanoparticles into a graphene oxide chemical structure. But once they get the graphene oxide, how big is that? How big is that? And the answer is that they're actually pretty big. They're up at the cellular level. So if you look at a chart of size of things, you have atoms, you have nanoparticles, you have viruses, which are a bit bigger, then you have bacteria, then you have cells, then you have larger biological structures. And down at the very low end are the nucleotides of the DNA, and they're built up of hydrogen and nitrogen and oxygen and carbon with a little phosphorus mixed in. So anyway, this is kind of the size we're dealing with of things. It's down at the, it's not as small as a nanoparticle, and it's not as big as a cell. It's somewhere in that region. And that's really important, because if somebody put this in the water system so that everybody would ingest it, is there a way to get it out of the water before you drink your water or take a shower in it? And the answer is yes. And so anyway, I'll be talking about that in a little while. But let me go back to this concept that it's a computer interface. And what are they going to do? For example, the other thing is, because it's magnetic, and now a lot of people have heard the story that when people have been injected with the virus, the vaccine for the alleged COVID virus, the alleged vaccine for the alleged virus, that they have magnetic properties. But the small amount of material that's in the vaccine injection itself is not big enough to cause any magnetic issues. What does happen with magnetism is magnetic fields couple. It's a property of magnetism. So if you took two magnets, little bar magnets, one in each hand, and you brought them together, those magnets are going to stick together, and they're going to attract other magnets to stick together. So if you put something magnetic in your body, they're going to collect all of the magnetic things in the region, and you have iron in your body, you have other materials in your body, and so that's where you get the higher level of magnetism in the body, is clearly in that injection. There is magnetic material, and it's in the form of magnetic nanoparticle graphene oxide. That's my best guess at this point. Now, that's not a medical determination. It's a statement of how magnetism works, so you can deduce certain things by knowing what the end effect is. Magnetism just doesn't appear. If you have a magnetic field around a planet, it doesn't just magically appear. There's a physical cause for that magnetic field. And, for example, Earth's magnetic field is multilayered. You have the internal magnetic field, which is a permanent magnetic field. Then you have the ionosphere and the jet streams, which are ionic streams of charged particles moving around, which couple to that. Then you have the Van Allen belts, which couple to that, and then you have the outer magnetic field, which couples to that. So Earth has five layers of coupled magnetic fields, just to give you another example of coupled magnetic fields. Okay, so anyway, now they can target these to go to certain areas of your body. This is why the 5G can interact with things in your body, because 5G is set as a signaling. And these are basically antennas. So you're signaling, you can have signaling both received and then technically sending. And that's where now I'm going to read some of these terms and get into this. Photothermal properties. That means that there are the ability of these particles to pick up photo imaging or photo properties, in other words, either infrared or visible light, and then accentuate that or have that communicated in some manner. Magnetic thermal properties, that means that you can use these to energize, for example, small microcells that require electricity, you could change the thermal properties into electricity and power small transmitters in your body. This abstract is so full of information, although I don't think the authors intended this, but you can read into this if you're a scientist, if you understand what they're saying. Okay, another thing they're talking about is active chemical bonds. And so if you have a nanoparticle graphene oxide material in a body, it can form chemical bonds with the cell. In other words, it can attach to a cell, and that's where the interface comes in. Hydrophilicity is the ability to mix and be spread in water. And so that means your body is like your high percentage of water in your body. That means this can be distributed throughout your body simply by the fact that it is compatible with water. There's other materials which are called hydrophobic, in which they repel water. They do not mix well with water. Graphene oxide mixes very well with water. It's one of its well-known properties. And now, interestingly enough, they're claiming here that it's low cytotoxicity, which means they believe that this can be put in the body with no ill effects at all. But I have news for them. I don't believe that at all. I just see somebody stating something. I don't see any verification. In fact, there's no references in this article to anything that has tested low cytotoxicity. In other words, they're just stating this. They're just stating, hey, this is fine. Put it in an organism. No problem. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it's been tested. Certainly not across the range of things that they intend to use. And certainly not across the range of taking cells in the body and changing them and causing other problems. It's like, let me use an example. Say I go out to my car, nice new, brand new car. I used to be able to fix my car when there were carburetors and, all of the old technology for an automobile. I used to be able to fix my car. I wouldn't know where to begin in a modern car. So imagine me going out to my new modern car and pulling up the hood and saying, I think there should be a carburetor here. I think I'll put another computer sensor over there. I think I'll turn this screw a few times here. And I think it's going to run okay. This is what they're doing with medicine, boys and girls. They are taking graphene oxide and stating that there's low toxicity for the cells and for the body, and they have no clue. They have no idea. Do you think this has really been tested? And in the middle of an abstract where they're talking about putting this stuff in your body, that's what this is all about, because they're talking about cancer therapy, targeted drug delivery. This is not for your dog. This is not for your cat. This is not for the fish in your fish tank. This is for you. They're talking about delivering things into your body, and they're claiming that there's low toxicity. Excuse me, boys and girls, I don't believe it. But this is what the scientific community can get away with. And so now they're talking about the ability to take these graphene oxide with nanoparticle sheets and bring them down to where they can have pure graphene oxide. That's little pieces of this entire sheet. So anyway, then the next question is, where is this going? It's a biomaterial in the field of biomedicine. That's what they're talking about. They're going to have all kinds of things. And that's why I gave the example of the computer. Back when I was in college, IBM 1130 computer was a big machine. Your laptop, your cell phone today has probably a million times more computing power than that IBM computer, which was just used for number crunching. And look at all of the applications that run on phones and things like that. So having a computer interface that goes into your body is just the beginning. Everybody and their brother is going to want to latch on to that and have influence on that. Let's take your cell phone as a good example. You buy a cell phone, you want to talk to mom and dad and the kids and your friends. But that cell phone is full of all kinds of applications and things which allow the government to listen to all your pictures, go off to another place where they're cataloged and they put into some government database. There are so many things going. It tracks you where you're going. It, you know, when you turn it off at night, it's still on. It's still tracking. It still can have the camera going. It can be hacked by other people. That phone is the interface between you and the rest of the planet and people looking in on your life. When you open your car door and get out of your car, it knows you're getting out of your car. That's how detailed this your cell phone is. They want to put that in your body so that they know your temperature, your, you know, everything about your body. So they can, it's going to be the interface between your body in all parts of your body and the AI system, the glorious AI system that will be universal. Everybody will be part of it. And if you're not, you're going to be a bad person. And so that's why they want to get this into everybody. So how do they get it into your body? Well, it could be through the vaccine. And so that's why they want universal vaccinations. It's not to help you out. In fact, there are reports that, for example, in Israel, this is quoting Mike Adams of Natural News, he's saying that 95% of the very severe COVID cases in Israel are people that are double vaccinated, people who have been vaccinated. And what they're realizing is that it's broken down the immune system in the people, these people's bodies, and they're very susceptible not only to contracting COVID again, and if there is such a thing or whatever they're contracting, when you break down the immune system, anything can look like COVID. But the other thing is they're developing other variations that they're then spreading to other people because their immune system is basically a factory for everything that's going on out there. Any divergent or variations can easily grow. It's like a petri dish for every variation of bacteria and virus on the planet because there's no immune system to block it and get rid of it. Okay, so back to the idea of getting graphene oxide in the body. One way is through an injection. If they can't get everybody to do that, and by the way, I believe, because I'm a mathematician, I'm a statistician, I understand how statistics work, and I understand how governments lie with statistics. My estimation is that there's probably about maximum 30% of the population that has been vaccinated. And they're going crazy. What they have to do is just like the COVID cases, just like the testemic, they're inflating the numbers. They have to find any way possible to inflate the numbers to make it look like they're succeeding. So they're lying like they always lie. So if they say 50%, it might be 5 to 20% at best. So just take that, you know, and just understand that's what they do. They lie. They exaggerate. They take something that isn't true and they make it true. Trying to inject this into people is one way to do it. And if the people aren't doing that, what's the second best way? Well, graphene oxide does very well in water. All of you drink water every day. All of you take a shower every day, hopefully, or at least once a week, whether you need it or not. Another way of getting graphene oxide into people's system is by way of the water supply. And this is why I've been pounding on this for a very long time. There are ways to get just about everything out of your water. But that's the second best way. Another way is through the air system in a ventilation system, say in a mall. And if you go back to the beginning of COVID, when it first started, remember there were centers. There was like some up here in Washington State or Oregon. Then there were some down in Texas. And then there were up in New York. And all of a sudden these cases started. Well, wait a minute. That's when you should have started contact tracing if you were going to do it. Not wait 3 months until everybody in the country had been exposed to the alleged virus. And so what my estimate was, because of the people having pulmonary problems, my estimate of the problem was that somebody was going around and injecting bioparticles, and I even talked about graphene at the time, particles into air conditioning systems in malls. And so what happens, people start choking because your basic, your lungs are, have nerves. They're very sensitive to any kind of dust or particles or whatever. So they start choking. They take the people into a hospital. They stick them on a respirator. Remember good old Tony Fauci, the criminal world, the war criminal from Washington, D.C., the NIH. His recommendation to Trump was that everybody should be put on ventilators. Well, that's what was killing the people. And what they, the doctors soon found out with hydroxychloroquine and zinc and other using along with various steroids was that they had to calm down the cyto response, the overreaction of the person's immunological system to producing fluid and coughing and irritation. They had to calm that down. And then the people eventually cleaned that out. But my statement was, somebody's going around, and I called it fairy dust. That's what I called it, because I didn't know what it was. Graphene dioxide was a good candidate. But if you get these nanoparticles into your lungs, it's going to irritate the lungs. You're going to start coughing. They drag you into a hospital. They stick you on a respirator and kill you. And then they call it COVID. And if they went back and did an autopsy on these people early on, I bet you're going to find that all of them have graphene oxide in their lungs. My statement is, another way to get it into your body is to put it into air conditioning systems or deliver it by air where people breathe it in. But you're probably not going to get the quantity necessary to be effective by breathing it in. You're probably going to choke before you breathe in enough to the levels that they want to put this in your body, to where it'll be an electrical interface to the cells in your body so that then they can add in other computerized. The break. This is our last break. I'm going to come back after the bottom of the hour here and finish up this topic. This is James McCanny for the Power Up.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
John. just recently we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Okay, back again, James McCanny here with the last half hour of today's show, guest hosting on the Power Hour. And I just want to quick mention something. I was talking with the producer here offline and how difficult it is to do a daily radio show. I do a guest appearance like this every now and then, a couple hours, or I'm a guest on many radio shows or my own weekly radio show, which is 1 hour a week. And, but to the people who do a daily radio show, it's difficult. And there are a lot of jobs like that are, you spend all day working and it's difficult. But doing a radio show where you have to keep up with all the guests and things like that, it's a very difficult thing to do. So my hat's off to people like Joyce or all the different, Daniel, all the different people who have done radio shows in the past, or like when I'm on with, say, with George Norrie or back in the old Art Bell days or whatever. It's difficult to do a show like this every day. And much credit to these people because they're bringing you really good information every day and different, and they have different guests. That's a big job. It's very difficult. So anyway, it's not something I could do. I can do a bit of radio, but I think it'd be impossible for me personally to do a show every day. But at any rate, back to this topic of graphene oxide. I'll try and wrap this up here. So there's various ways of getting this into your body. The primary ones would be in the water system, breathing it in, respiration, etc. It was not a very good way to do it. So in fact, like I said, I bet you if you could go back and do autopsies on those early people in the COVID back in February, that time frame of 2020 that died in that time frame on ventilators, I think what you're going to find is their lungs are full with a toxic substance like graphene oxide. And that's why they stopped doing it, because they started doing autopsies And that's what they were showing is like I call it fairy dust, and I bet you $1 million. No, I won't. I don't have $1 million to bet, but I bet you a lot that it was graphene oxide that they were putting in ventilation systems, and that's why you had those concentrated areas in New York City, and that's why they did not start contact tracing, because they'd find that all these people were in a mall all at the same time, you know, 2 days ago, that type of thing. Okay, so anyway, back to the idea of, you know, forced vaccinations are not working. Let's just put it that way. They're not getting this into the vast majority of the public. They're trying to force it on kids and parents and make them, you know, use the fear tactic of forcing kids to get the vaccine. But this is what they want. They want a worldwide, and this is Bill Gates, the psychopaths that are running the world, and then to put up tens of thousands of satellites that run 5G, which is all related to this, to AI. It's coupled, 5G goes hand in hand, glove in hand with AI, if you don't know about this. So at any rate, all of these technologies are coming online at the same time. And at the heart of it is graphene oxide with nanoparticles. And that is the computer interface to your body. So the question is, how do you keep this out of your body? Well, you could move out into a distant remote region and get your own water from underground and make sure that you have good water. The other thing you could do is you could filter it. That's something that I did literally decades ago, was started working on these technologies knowing that this kind of thing would be happening. And I have products. This is not an advertisement. I didn't come on here to do an advertisement, but I did develop products that would deal with this basically on a household level. And that's the other thing, is that you have to deal with all of the water systems in your house. And so that's the second best way to deliver graphene oxide to humans, is through the water systems. And are they already doing this, or is there potential for them to come up with this in the future, the near future, whatever? And the answer is yes. It's the best delivery mechanism for graphene oxide. Anyway, I'll cut it there and just, but I think it's very important for people to understand that you do not want to allow this to get into your body, and especially your kids. They have their whole life to live, and you don't want them becoming little AI automatons, because when they were kids, people were not aware of this or watching out for this. And that's why it's important also to be very clear with school boards. I understand there's a video that came out just yesterday of a virologist talking with a school board, and it's one of the northeastern states. I'm not sure if it's Vermont or one of those places, one of the states in the northeast, I believe, telling the school board of the dangers and the toxicity in the vaccinations. And this is related to it, injecting nanoparticles, graphene oxide, and other related materials in the vaccine into kids. Okay, just another quick topic here. This came out, and I think it's very important, that a while ago, NASA made an announcement that it was going to the moon in 2024. Well, it was absolutely ridiculous. They have no ability to go to the moon. And so anyway, recently there was a statement by an independent group that went to NASA and said, hey, what are you talking about? You can't go to the moon by 2024. You don't even have a rocket, you know, or space capsule or anything. But why the year 2024 is the point. The reason they picked 2024 is because when Donald Trump first came into office, he cut the NASA budget on an annual basis. He gave them 100%. He gave them 100% of their budget on the first year he was in office. Remember that the government had shut down all of the government agencies, had a a restriction on spending, the EPA was cut like 50%, and the people were put on furlough, basically. But NASA got 100% of its budget. And it was a way of giving them 1 year to get their act together. And every year after that, they would have a reduction in their budget to the year 2024, where they would have zero budget. And so anyway, that's why the magical year of saying they're going to go to the moon by 2024. They're trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat, and they really don't have anything to show for it. They don't have any ability to go. And so I think it's interesting that they're still sticking to their story of trying to go to the moon by 2024. And when Obama came into office, it was interesting because George Bush Jr. had started a program to go back to the moon, and it was going on when Obama got into office. And Obama hired, one of the good things Obama did was he hired a team of experts to examine NASA and see if they really could go to the moon. And at that point, they determined also NASA had no ability to go to the moon, so they shut the program down. Well, it's back. It's back. And once again, you have an independent group of scientists examining NASA and realizing that they have no ability to go to the moon. And so this is irrespective of anything that may or may not have happened back in the old Apollo days. But I think worth noting that everybody's talking about going back to the moon. But as a scientist, the one thing that I noticed nobody is talking about or mentioning is getting out of low Earth orbit and actually going into the radiation environment of outer space. And that's something I happen to know quite a bit about. And the real issue there is something that nobody has ever studied, and it's the X-ray issue. I learned this when I worked with the Russian scientists back in the mid-90s, that they had sent people to the moon, not to land on the moon, but to orbit the moon and come back in the 60s. And their cosmonauts came back very dead. And the reason they were dead is because of radiation poisoning, extreme radiation levels, but from X-rays. And what happens is the charged particles in the Van Allen belt hit metal in the spacecraft, of which there's plenty, or any other material basically, but primarily metals, creating X-rays, and it becomes like an X-ray chamber. And so this is one of the issues. Nobody has gone outside of low Earth orbit since the alleged Apollo days. No person. No live human being, not even a mouse, not even an experimental mouse. And that's something that I've always said. If this is not a problem, if this is no issue, why are they not sending test animals into the Van Allen belts to prove to us that, hey, there's no problem? And so at any rate, that's an issue of itself, something that I'll be tracking myself and doing more reporting on. But it's one of those elephants in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Switching topics again here. I want to talk about election fraud and how we got to the point we're at today. Now, you're probably all familiar with Mike Lindell, the Pillow Man, who's been doing a lot of work, and they're coming up to some major exposés in the near future dealing with the election fraud issue. It's something that I pioneered back in the prior to the 2016 election. And then I wrote a white paper after the 2016 presidential election. And I said that Hillary Clinton, by examining statistically, this is examining the vote results, not just making estimates, but actually looking at the vote results. I showed that Hillary Clinton got 17 million illegal votes, and her claim that she won the popular vote was just toxic. It was not true. There was no way it could possibly be true. And I showed that there were 10 major cheating centers in the United States. Well, between the 2016 election and the 2020 election, they realized that they had to refine their techniques and they had to concentrate on those particular states where the Electoral College was the decider in the election. So they fixed what they did not do correctly in the 2016 election for the 2020 election, and that's where we are today. They also got into place judges. They got into place at low levels, political systems, mayors, city councils, and governors, and legislators, secretaries of state, and also Department of Justice in the various states to all be in place. And this was in the 2018 election. They made sure all of these people were in place so when the 2020 election came around that they would have all of these people in place to protect their assets in the cheating that went on in 2020. And that's exactly what went on. And so at any rate, that's how we got to where we are today. And I wanted to explain that, because it's not very clear. How did all of the voting machines, the mail-in voter fraud, the supporting staff, you might say, in all of the states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, the whole laundry list, Minnesota, Wisconsin, California, Oregon, Washington State, Nevada, Colorado. They had all the supporting staff ready in those states so that when the cheating happened, when it started to become obvious, they had all the supporting staff to squelch any opposition. So that's where we got to today. In fact, now it's they're trying to make it illegal to even talk about it. But Mike Lindell is doing an excellent job of spearheading the issues and certainly exposing it. And so anyway, very important to understand, how did we get to where we are today with the voter fraud issue? And clearly there are some people that don't want to talk about it, but mix that with a Biden decision to declare another national lockdown and the fact that all of the voter fraud issues are coming to the surface now in a much more well-researched manner, it's like two volcanoes sitting next to each other ready to go off. So I think we're in for some very interesting times here in the next couple weeks. So fasten your seatbelt. And that's why I'm talking about the other issue is that the COVID vaccination program is not going as planned. Not everybody's buying into this. And so that's why I was talking about nanoparticles and other ways of getting those into your body, because that's the goal. That's the world, the Bill Gates psychopath goal of getting everybody vaccinated is not about vaccines for health. It's about getting everybody injected, because what is Bill Gates' real objective is to have a computer interface on every person in his psychologically disturbed world. That's organization. That's a goal that's achievable and should be achieved. That's the Bill Gates world that you're looking at. Okay, got a few minutes left here. Actually, about 9 minutes, I believe. But I have a special for the people listening to the Power Hour. And on my webpage, it's jmccwaterfilters.com, a little promotion here. And right now I have a 10% sale going on the whole house water filter, on all the products on the page. Basically, there's currently a 10% off. But what I wanted to do for the Power Hour audience, which I've been on this show going back to when Joyce was on the show, and the offer I have here is a coupon that goes on my page. If you're at checkout, you get the standard 10% discount that's in the pricing on the page. But with the coupon code POWER, P-O-W-E-R, you'll get another 10% off until the end of Friday the 13th, coming up here Friday the 13th. And so it's just an offer. It's my way of saying thank you for the ability to be here, present my information. And it's a way of also trying to help out the public to combat some of these things that are going on today And about 20 years ago, I put myself and I said, what are the big issues coming up in the next decades? And it was energy and water. And so I'm sure a lot of you know about my wing generator, the real solution to the world energy crisis. And so that's one of the things that's that I've been promoting, of course. But now I have an independent webpage just for the water filters. It's a brand new modern webpage, and it's called jmccwaterfilters.com. Filters is plural. And like I say, if you go there, any products that are available are already have a 10% sale price on them. And then at checkout, if you use the coupon code POWER, P-O-W-E-R, you get another 10% off whatever you purchase there, all of your selections, etc. And that is good until Friday evening, this coming Friday the 13th, which is an interesting topic, too. There's a lot of people that associate Friday the 13th with an unlucky day. And but possibly people don't know the origin of that, why 13th and why Friday. Because allegedly, if you go back in history, it was the 13th, it was a Friday the 13th, when the great Earth-wide catastrophe occurred, that a planet came by Earth and did a lot of damage, and it was on that day, Friday the 13th. So that has carried back, going way back thousands of years through history, that there's been a stigma on Friday the 13th. And I'll just also say that I'm, as long as we're on that topic, I'm not aware of any issues relative to, say, Planet X type of things that are pending. And so I'll just say that I have not heard anything that is that has any verifiable information. Let's just put it, there's always a lot of claims out there. But to, when you hear things, just to remind you, you have to have orbital data. And that's the thing. If there's some kind of object and it's been visualized, it's been observed with telescopes, it's very easy to give the parameters for that, and especially something big enough to affect Earth. You can see these things coming. In fact, I have a book, it's called Planet X 2020, The Real History of Planet X, where it discusses specifically that the real Planet X was the nucleus of Hale-Bopp the comet. It was in the solar system all the time, and it missed us. It was supposed to be on a direct collision course, and it missed us. I have a book that describes that whole process, the whole issue of the CIA covering it up, the astronomical community covering it up. And but anyway, it was visible in 1991. Robert Harrington of the Naval Observatory observed Planet X, the future nucleus of Hale-Bopp, observed it with an 8-inch camera. So this is like amateur-style equipment. So anybody that's saying that there's a Planet X coming or something like that, it has to be very specific. It has to have a very specific orbit. And clearly, it's something that if there really were something, every amateur in the world would have equipment that would be capable of viewing it. And so those are the things that I tell people. It has to be verifiable, something you actually can give that information and pass it along to the public so that everybody can see it. So at any rate, my point is that I have not seen anything verifiable with actual information, orbital information. And even if it were something far away and little and difficult to see, I have contacts with professional astronomers that have real good equipment that can see anything. And so that's something to note right now. But the biggest issues I think we have to deal with humanity right now are the Marxism that has been installed in the world, in all of the governments of the world. And the people that have been in place in these governments and been placed in there by the World Bank, etc. There's a lot of talk about China right now. China is a puppet of the World Bank. A lot of people don't realize that the Chinese economy and the Chinese banking system are all part of the Vatican World Bank. And so any things that are coming from that direction are part of the plan to take down America, the United States, and build a communist world network, which is what George Bush Sr. called the New World Order. That's what it is. George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., the Clintons are all pawns in the effort, Obama, all pawns in the effort to take down the United States and bring in a new world order. That's what it's all about, and that's what the COVID vaccine is. That's what the new lockdown to destroy the economy. That's what this is all about. The United States is pretty resilient, and it's the economy is actually going quite well right now. It has rebounded quite well, not due to anything being done by our fearless leaders, but their effort is to take down the United States. And the one thing that has never, ever happened in history before, if you look at pre-World War II Germany or the Ukraine in the 1930s or Russia in 1905 with the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks, any Marxist revolution that has occurred in the world has always been accompanied by a population that was unarmed. And that's the thing that you can look at the United States. You have 250 million people that are armed. That's never, ever happened before. And they don't know what to do about it. So anyway, I think we're in for some very interesting times here. And I appreciate the staff at the Power Hour giving me a couple hours here to reach this wonderful large audience and give out some very important information that is going to help you in the near future. And a few seconds left here. Just remember the webpage, 10% extra sale off. Use the coupon code. It's jmccwaterfilters.com. And my main webpage, jmccsci.com. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you on the next time around.
But what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.